Busted Pencils is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny on a Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Ah. I got to give thanks, though, to our guest tonight, Dr. Nancy Bailey. She's been on the show quite often, gave her a little bit of a break, and now she's back. Go to nancybailey.com, Nancy Bailey's education website. America cannot build back better and address equity if crumbling, dangerous school buildings are ignored. Dr. Nancy Bailey, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And
I teased this in the promo going, build back, are we willing to build back better our schools? And Johnny and I, we talked about this, and you know, so often, what I loved about this piece, Nancy, and you really hit at the, like, what if brick and mortar is falling down?
Right.
I mean, and so saving public education for Zoom or what? I mean, so, all right, let's start right here. We might as well break right into it. Nancy Bailey, are you hopeful in this moment in time?
Well, I'm not always hopeful, to be honest with you. I do think that there are a lot of very wealthy individuals who want to see the end of public education the way we know it. You will hear a lot of reimagining talk with the pandemic, a lot of talk about the schools of the future. And it's not always real clear what people mean by that. But I think many were quite hopeful that President Biden was serious about fixing schools up, renovating them. Some of the schools that we have today are 70 years old. And so it's problematic, I think, that it was just pretty much dropped. From what I understand, they whittled it down to $82 billion. First, it was $100 billion that they were going to spend, and then they whittled it down to $82 billion, and then it just kind of faded away. And you know, it's really disappointing when you have schools like the schools in Philadelphia and schools in Detroit, schools in most urban areas that serve poor children are the schools that are really crumbling. And this issue is very, it's very personal to me because one of the first public schools that I worked in had some real space issues, was a rather poorish school, served mostly Black students when I started. It was later integrated, but there were some real space issues. And they had a hard time finding a classroom for me. I taught special ed. I taught students with learning disabilities, so I had smaller class numbers. And I was easy to kind of push around. I had a real poor portable out behind the band room, if you can imagine, which was not a good location. For a while, they placed me actually in a broom closet that was a large broom closet, but a broom closet nonetheless. And there were teachers that were teaching on the stage. There were just real space issues. And, you know, the administration was, they were really nice. The teachers there were wonderful. It was a wonderful situation, except for the building. Yeah. And then eventually they renovated the school, and they renovated it with us in it. And you can imagine the problems that can come from that. So when I hear now about schools that still have asbestos, I thought asbestos was actually gone. I thought they had gotten rid of that in the 80s, but apparently they still have it in schools in Philadelphia and probably some other older schools. And then the one good thing from the infrastructure plan apparently is that they will fix the pipes that have lead in them. And, you know, why haven't they done that already?
Nancy, I got to start because right now, let's just recap for the listener. Okay, Build Back Better infrastructure plan, right? And infrastructure for America. And largely infrastructure would mean then investing in the public infrastructure. And so school buildings would largely hopefully be a part of the infrastructure. And what you just said, though, is like it's sad because while we might find money to fix lead pipes.
Right.
And Johnny, you're originally from Detroit up in Flint. I mean, they're still dealing Flint. You can't drink the water. How is this how can we build back better if we can't get rid of lead pipes in schools?
Well, I have to just thank Nancy for her stuff too, saying thank you for drawing our attention to this because we have to ask the question is rebuild back or even rebuild or even build an America for who? And it seems a bit mimetic of every time we say we're going to allocate funds for equity in education or for equal access or for a stronger public school system, that we see time and time again, the types of schools that receive that funding, it helps them move forward. But some schools and areas take a little baby step forward, but we're starting from way back. Like Nancy's drawing attention to this idea of there's lead pipes, right? Mm-hmm. In places like Flint, Detroit, and really in our rural districts too. It's not just an urban phenomenon, right? It's basically if you're experiencing any kind of marginalization or you're a child living and going to school in poverty, you're likely experiencing the brutality of this country's educational system. And really we know, I don't want to blame schools and teachers, but I'm going to say, like, we're here saying if there's hope and optimism, then allocate funds to bringing all of our educational spaces up to code, right? If it's good enough for one of our inspiring people probably across Zooms here, right? Jonathan Kozel regularly reminded us
If
it's good enough for a CEO in New York City to walk into a building and go to work, then that is exactly what we should have for every single child in this country and could have. We have more than enough money to do so. Why aren't we doing it? And we know why we're doing it. So we're a little lacking optimism right now, but we have Nancy here who's drawing not only attention to it, but pointing us towards solutions.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Jonathan Kozol because actually I was going to mention that he wrote Savage Inequalities in 1992 and he brought up how terrible schools were then in the St. Louis area. And then he mentioned in 2005, shame of the nation. Right. He brought it up again. So here we are how many years later, and schools are next to highways as far as what infrastructure costs should prioritize. And instead, you know, they're just kind of forgotten about. I mean, President Obama also brought up schools and the corridor of shame in South Carolina.
But Nancy, we're going to come on a break here. So let's get back on that when we come back, because we're going to talk about this longstanding issue. If we're going to build back better, Nancy Bailey, Nancy Bailey's education website, blog, check it out. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slegger, Busted Pencils, fully led it. Back after the break.